Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome in to Outkick the Show. I am your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I hope wherever you may be across this great country, across this great land, you are having a spectacular day and you are enjoying hanging out with me here on this lovely show. And I would suggest as we roll into March Madness, what better way to get hooked up right now than to make sure that no matter where you are, go, my friends, to mybookie.net, use the registration code CLAY50, and they will match 50% of your sign-up bonus no matter where you are across the country, across the world, so long as it is legal in your jurisdiction. Again, that website, mybookie.net, CLAY50, is the website, and you'll be glad that you did. We got a bunch of different stories to do today, and I see early on that my man is going to have to bring out his gun, and Clay Kyle is going to have to murder a man before I even tell you what the topics are. Oh my God, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Don't step to me unless you want to be dead forever. Zion, still sitting as the race for the number one overall seeds races into the final week of the regular season. Kyler Murray, drama at the number one seed. R. Kelly, number one pick. R. Kelly, the interview that blew my mind when I watched it. If you haven't seen it, I may even try and play you the clip. Outkick Radio is on fire. I appreciate all of you out there, and we will dive into all of this and more. But we begin with what I think is my conspiracy theory as it continues to grow. Yesterday, in what should have been his final game ever in Cameron Indoor Stadium, Zion Williamson was a no-show on the court. After the game, cue the mystery sound effects. Coach K said he hasn't really practiced. He's probably not going to play on Saturday against North Carolina. And I am here to tell you, this man has decided, all signs are pointing towards he's not going to come back. If you think it made sense for Zion Williamson to sit out, why does it make sense for Zion Williamson to sit out 3 weeks and then come back to play in the ACC tournament? This is nonsensical. Think about logically what's going on here. You have a relatively insignificant, is the report, knee injury. Zion Williamson, according to Coach K, after Duke narrowly avoided by the slimmest of margins a loss to Wake Forest. Zion Williamson, according to Coach K, has barely practiced and probably is not going to play on Saturday on the road against UNC. The biggest rivalry of them all in the world of college basketball, and your team just got their ass kicked at Cameron Indoor Stadium. And you aren't able to come back for the biggest remaining regular season game of the year, and you expect me to believe that Zion is going to show up and play 3 straight days potentially after not playing for 3 weeks, and that somehow that is going to make him healthy? It doesn't make any sense at all when you actually look at all the evidence here. When I make arguments, I look at the facts, and then I try and look forward and make sense of those facts. Here are the facts. Zion supposedly tweaks his knee over 2 weeks ago. He now will not play, according to Coach K, on Saturday. He doesn't show up for the final home game of his Duke career. And you're telling me that after not playing for 3 weeks, he's suddenly going to show up and play for three straight days in the ACC tournament, here's what I think is going to happen. Once the ACC tournament starts, Zion is not going to play. And then Coach K is going to say he wasn't quite ready. We expect to have him for the NCAA tournament. And then you know what's going to happen? He's not going to play in the NCAA tournament either. That's his right. I don't even begrudge Zion Williamson from not playing. But, and this is key, somebody needs to start to hold Duke accountable. I like to go to this thing called the Bracket Project. It brings together every possible bracket projection in the country. Do you know that Duke is still a number one seed on every one of those bracket projections? Duke without Zion Williamson is a three seed at best. They're not even a two seed. They are 15 points different, offense and defense combined, without Zion Williamson. They should have last night lost to Wake Forest at home. Wake Forest is awful. They are atrocious. They are brutally bad. Duke always gets the favorable seeding in the NCAA tournament. They always get all the breaks, and I don't know why it is that nobody is holding them accountable here or holding Coach K's feet to the fire. Why have we not heard from Zion Williamson? That seems like a relatively easy thing to do, right? If Zion Williamson is going to come back, let him come talk to the media about the fact that he's going to come back and play. Why don't you let Zion Williamson talk to the media and tell everybody, hey, I'll be back for the ACC tournament. 100% I'll be there. Why has Duke not made him available for the media? Why after every game does Coach K say, he's not quite ready, but I think he'll be back soon. This doesn't make any sense unless you realize that Duke is trying to protect its seeding and doesn't anticipate having Zion Williamson back. That's the only logical statement that makes sense for all these facts right here. Why does this matter? Right now, Duke is still an overall number one seed. Here are the four number one seeds that everybody would have if they had functional brains and they were paying attention to everything that's going on, and frankly, they would be in this order. The number one seed would be Virginia. Virginia, despite the fact that they lost to Duke, has the best resume in the entire country. They have been the most consistently dominant team all season. They have not lost to a bad team, which is something significant when you consider a resume. All right? Number one seed. I know they lost to a 16 team last year, but I'm just judging them on the regular season so far. Number two seed. Number two overall one seed should be Tennessee. The Vols are 27-3. They have three losses. They lost to Kansas in overtime in November, which was a much better Kansas team. They lost to LSU in overtime on the road. And they had one bad game all year where they lost to Kentucky, who's a pretty good team. They came back and they erased that loss to Kentucky by beating Kentucky worse than Kentucky beat them in their home game most recently. And they're coming off of a thorough beatdown delivered against Mississippi State. Number three, overall number one seed right now, based on everything that we know, should be Gonzaga. The Zags have the third best resume in college basketball. They lost to Tennessee head-to-head. Otherwise, they haven't really played anybody in the top 25 in months. But they have the third best resume. The fourth number one seed right now should be the Kentucky Wildcats. If you look at what they have done down the stretch, they lost by 1 point to LSU, very good team on a last second tip, and they lost to Tennessee after beating Tennessee. Kentucky should be the number four team. Now, there's still a lot of basketball to be played. There's still as much that can happen overall. I have UNC as my number five team. My number one two seed right now is UNC. If, as I expect, they beat Duke, then they would make a strong argument going into the conference tournaments that they should potentially be a number one seed. That's it. That's really all the teams that have a case right now to be a number one seed. There are five of them. Duke does not have a strong case to be a number one seed. Michigan and Michigan State play Saturday. Depending on what happens in the Big Ten tournament, you could make a case for one of those schools. I don't think that either one will be able to climb to the one seed level, but Duke in its last five is 3-2. They beat Wake Forest by 1 point, and they are 15 points worse than without Zion, and they are trying to protect their number one seed, which most in the media are too dumb to call them out on. Right now, Duke is not a number one seed. Anyone who has them as a number one seed is an insane man. All right? That's my first thoughts. Kyler Murray. I love the drama of college football / NFL draft time. We had Charlie Casserly come out and say, oh my God, he wasn't good on the board and he didn't do a good job in his interviews. And everybody in the media, sports media industrial complex suddenly has to have an opinion on Charlie Casserly's opinion that somebody else's opinion gave to him. All right, I want you to think about this for a minute because I do love how stories like this take off. We've got Charlie Casserly, who is not an NFL GM and is not an NFL coach. And he comes out and says that somebody who he doesn't identify said that Kyler Murray was not very impressive in his interviews at the NFL Combine, and everybody goes crazy to have an opinion about this story. Think about the level of remove here. That's why I love sports media. We got anonymous sources speaking to a guy who are sharing their anonymous opinion with him. He is then broadcasting their anonymous opinion, and everybody has an opinion on the anonymous opinion broadcast by somebody who only gets attention paid to him if he has opinions like this. Here are my thoughts. I don't really care how Kyler Murray looked on the board. A team is going to like him in the first round. I think that this could be a Josh Allen-like situation where you have to think about the motivation of the guys who said that he was awful on the board. All right? If he, in fact, is putting out this statement, it reminds me a little bit of the Josh Allen situation. Do you remember last year when suddenly on draft day, Josh Allen has news come out that he used a racial slur when he was like 12 years old, and it was on his Twitter account? Everybody was like, oh my God, it's the number one story in America. And I told you then that I thought it was a team that wanted him to fall down the draft board that released that information. I think this is a team that hopes that Kyler Murray is going to fall to them, saying that nobody else liked Kyler Murray. Here's what I think in general. I think that Arizona is going to take him number one overall. But I also think that Arizona could probably trade back if somebody else would be interested in their number one overall pick. I think it would make sense for Arizona to trade back and they could still potentially get Kyler Murray. I also think there is a team out there that doesn't think Kyler Murray is going to be on the board when they pick, and they are the ones who are putting out this information. Remember, when you draft a quarterback, you don't really care about what they're like right now. You care about what you think they might be like in the years ahead. Laramie Tunsil, if you remember the bong mask video that came out right an hour or a couple of hours before the NFL draft, NFL teams have become incredibly talented at black arts, at black ops, at psychological warfare where they drop things right before the actual draft in hopes that they're going to be able to get a steal who otherwise would not be on the board when they pick. I think they all do their research. I think they have all these files about all these draftees, and then they decide to release their information at the best possible time to maximize their benefit. It's a lot like politics. You want to know how the media ends up with so many negative stories? They end up with so many negative stories because their sources give it to them. It's not like the media knows every little detail out there about every different candidate or every different player. They get tipped off and then they go and they chase it. This is a conspiracy unlike any other conspiracy. I believe what's going on with Duke is a conspiracy of silence. I think this is a conspiracy of noise. if you create enough noise that suggests Kyler Murray's not that talented of a quarterback, boom, it blows up. Here is what next is going to happen if it has not already happened. The usual suspects are going to line up and they're going to accuse Charlie Casserly's opinions of being racist because Kyler Murray is a black quarterback. Just wait. The bat signal will be up in the sky if it hasn't already happened. The minute that you say a bad word about a black quarterback, the racism brigade storms the ramparts and can't wait to accuse you of being racist. If it hasn't already happened, it's gonna happen. Doesn't matter that last year Baker Mayfield got ripped to the high heavens. Remember all the talk about whether Baker Mayfield's temperament was right to go number one overall? Remember all the discussion about whether Baker Mayfield was too entitled or too arrogant? And all the discussion about his personality that had very little to do with his actual on-field production? That's what happens every year at the NFL Combine. Every potential top draft pick gets raked over the coals, regardless of their race. It doesn't matter. But they're going to storm the Bastille. They're going to storm the battalions here are going to mobilize, and they'll be waving the racism flag like crazy in short order. What I do love is this. Other people are starting to ask my question about whether or not Kyler Murray might have had prosthetic heels when he measured 5'10 and an eighth. I was suspicious when he measured 5'10 and an eighth because it was the perfect height. It was just tall enough to get him over 5'10, but not tall enough for everybody to say, my God, what's going on here? If you told me that I had tens of millions of dollars at stake, if I could add an inch and a half to my height, do you know what I would do? I would find a way to add an inch and a half of height. Sometimes an inch and a half matters. It's not always about the motion of the ocean, all right? Sometimes the motion of the ocean doesn't matter. Size can matter. Size mattered in a big way for Kyler Murray. And all I said on my radio show was, man, it's awfully convenient that this guy hit exactly 5'10 and an eighth. So that everybody would say, okay, he's basically the same size as Russell Wilson. But if he had been 5'11 and an eighth, nobody would have believed it. And if he had been 5'9 and a half, everybody would have lost their minds. 5'10 and an eighth was like the perfect score for a dumb guy to get on the SAT. You ever notice that? Like, when people get caught cheating on the SAT, it's because their dumbasses go from scoring like an 800 to scoring a 1400. You went from barely being able to read to the 99th percentile. You must have studied your ass off in the 2 months between when you took the SAT the first time and the second time. That's when you get caught. They actually will flag your score if you skyrocket your SAT score too much. You want to hit that sweet spot where you go up like 150 or 200 points just enough to get you eligible, but not enough for everybody to be able to see that you cheated. I think Kyler Murray hit the sweet spot. I think he had a prosthetic heel. Third conspiracy theory of the day. Think about it. He didn't run. He didn't weightlift. All he had to do was add an inch. Think about how much difference the shoes you pick matter. Now, he's barefoot. But how easy would it be to craft a fake heel? I'm just telling you, you got a lot of money at stake here. R. Kelly. R. Kelly. All right, are you ready? I don't know if you've seen this, but my guy Jimmy needs to interject this into the video. R. Kelly did a video, and my mind was blown when I watched this. I'm going to play it for you. He did a CNN interview. If you have not heard it, I'm going to play the entire thing for you right now. Here it is. Against their will. I don't need to. Why would I? Well, here's R. Kelly. Stupid would never help anybody. R. Kelly. I just want you to watch this.
I've been through in my way, way past to hold somebody, let alone 4, 5, 6, 50.
This is amazing.
Why, how stupid would
would I be to do that?
I didn't say you're
holding. That's stupid, guys. This camera on me?
Yes, it's on.
That's stupid. Use your common sense. Don't forget the blogs. Forget how you feel about it.
This is from CBS.
If you want to, love me if you want. But just use your common sense. How stupid would it be for me to, with my crazy past and what I've been through, right now I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle. Robert, stop it. Y'all quit playing.
This is amazing.
Quit playing. Robert. I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my career.
Robert.
30 years of my career. Y'all trying to kill me. You're killing me, man. This is not about music. I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it. Y'all just don't want to believe the truth. You don't want to believe it.
At this point, we briefly...
All right, I got to stop it. You can go watch the rest of this on CBS. I tweeted out the video. This is one of the most amazing interviews I've ever seen. Gayle King at CBS did it. And I was watching it, and my jaw dropped. My jaw dropped. While I was watching it, my four-year-old, he loves the new Spider-Verse movie, right? We watch the Spider-Verse movie all the time. My four-year-old comes around, and he's like, Dad, this is unbelievable. Dad, what is this? This is crazy. My four-year-old gets up from the couch where he's watching Spider-Verse and has to see what's going on there. It's extraordinary. It's an unbelievable interview. R. Kelly is, I think, evidence of what would have happened to Michael Jackson if he were still alive in the wake of the documentary that aired Sunday and Monday on HBO. I had a big discussion about that on the Monday show of Outkick, if you haven't already heard or watched that. Finally, I got to go do television, but I want to say this. The Outkick radio show is dominating. The Outkick radio show is thoroughly dominating, and I want to thank three cities in particular where our numbers were up insane amounts over last year. In the city of Los Angeles, we were up 420%. Over our numbers last year. We are on fire. The show is on 3 to 6 a.m. in Los Angeles, and we are dominating in the city of Los Angeles. We're one of the 10 biggest shows for men from 5 to 6 a.m. in Los Angeles, which is amazing. 5:70 a.m. in L.A. I appreciate all the support for the show in L.A. and the surrounding communities. In Kansas City, we are up 400% over last year's show in Kansas City. If you are watching or listening in Kansas City, I thank you very much. And on top of that, as if those two were not enough, we are up over 100% in the city of Nashville, my hometown. The show is blowing up in a good way everywhere. But all three of those markets, LA, Kansas City, and Nashville, I want to say thank you. We're on lots of places. You can go download the podcast. Encourage you to do so. Thank you for spreading the news of our show. I will be on FS1 here momentarily, giving you some college football and NBA gambling picks. Kisses. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. I got to go do television now. Yes, we are on in Atlanta as well. Kisses. I am Clay Travis. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. See y'all.